I like Brother Temp. He's always calling me doctor. I have two doctor's degrees. Honorary, I call them two curls in a pig's tail. So brother's good enough. But thank you, Brother Temp, for recognizing I'm a doctor, more of a nurse than a doctor. Good to see the Phillips. Carolyn, are you behaving? No, I'm not going to ask that question. Don't you love the Prescott kids? Every time they come to a class, and of course today, it looks like they've grown an inch. The Amish people say too soon, quick, they grow. Amen? But they're special little kids and everything. Yes, my wife and I, Easter Sunday, she's scared to death about what I'm going to say. By the way, Dr. Barber, who hired me, has a nickname for me. It's Loose Cannon. And I said, yes, that's a good name, because I don't know what I'm going to say sometimes. But my wife, Easter Sunday, 57 years. I'll be done in a minute, honey. You don't leave. I remember when I was, yes, Bill. 62 yesterday. Give him a hand. Amen. And you're going to tell me it gets better, right, Brother Bill? Remember who you... Well, watch the elbow to your left to do it. But I remember when I told her mother I was going to propose. Her mother was ironing at that particular point, I told her. And she just about fainted because she saw me as a future son-in-law. Isn't that scary? And everything. Well, we won't get too personal because I'll be riding in the trunk on the way home to do that. That's good. That's good. Moms Mobley, that black comedian, said this one time, speaking of getting old. You know you're getting old when your body can't do what your mind's a-thinking. I find that to be true. Take your Bibles this morning. I'll shut up. That's all introductory. It doesn't mean a thing. I want you to turn to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 55, just as a way of introduction. Now, we are finishing up the series on It's Not What You Think. It's not what you think. By the way, I think Dr. Weaver, don't all clap at once, will be back next Sunday. Okay? And by the way, I find out men in the ministry, as me and Dr. Weaver, we don't, and Dr. Barber, of course, we don't retire, we just retread. Amen? And I'm thankful that I can be up here and speak, and I'm thankful you all can hide and read your phones and do all that. I know you are too. But the series is really in contrast to what we were taught when we were in the secular world, when we weren't saved. But when we got saved, things changed. Amen? We're going to have a home in heaven. But those things that we learned in the secular world aren't true in the spiritual world and in the Word of God. For instance, if you want to go up, you have to go down. If you want to lead, you have to follow. If you want to get, you got to give. Make sense to you? But in Isaiah, I was thinking this morning, I prepared a little before this morning, but in chapter 55, verses 8 and 9, goes right along with the lesson. It says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts, amen, than your thoughts. So from the time we were born to the time we got saved, we didn't understand all that. I hope after you got saved, you start learning a little bit and we understand the truths that God is trying to get to us. Our final lesson in the series is entitled, Are You Ready? Because this involves all of us. Here it is. God uses nobodies. Everybody got that? God uses who, class? Nobody. So, hello, nobodies. How are you doing this morning? Thank you. I'm glad to insult you and you still do it, okay? To do it. Okay. Do it. 1 Corinthians, turn there, please. And you should have it on your sheet there. By the way, Joel, get a study sheet. I was supposed to ask that. Anybody need one? Not that I'm going to follow it, but if you find a fan yourself in service, do that. But if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 to 31, as a jumping off point, Paul's speaking. For ye see your calling, brethren, speaking to Christians, huh? How that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen, watch this now, the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring into naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Amen and amen. You have to be careful. I have to watch myself, because the Lord has enabled me to start two Christian schools and Bible college here in Texas. And sometimes I just start bragging on myself, but wait a minute. That's taking the glory from God, because God did it. Watch yourself that you don't take glory that belongs to the Lord. We'll say a little more about that in just a moment, but be mindful of that. I was going to ask Dan to sing a song this morning, but I didn't call him and I didn't put him on the spot. But thank you for the good song you sang, Dan. But there's a neat song written by a lady by the name of Frances Havergal, Havergal. She only lived 43 years, but the life that she had was serving the Lord. She was quite a brilliant person, memorized a lot of scripture, was a blessing to people. And the song, I'm not going to sing it, some of you are scared to death, but I'm going to just tell you about it. Some of you know it. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. And I went through that song and I found 14 things. Now, this won't take all day, I'll go fast, that Frances Havergal said to the Lord, consecrating her life to the Lord. I wonder if we've been there. Listen to the 14 things she gave to the Lord. Take my life, life's one. Take my moments. Take my days. Take my hands. Take my feet. Take my voice. Take my lips. Take my silver. Take my gold. Take my intellect. Take my will. Take my heart. Take my love. And the last thing just sums it all up. Take myself. Now the question is this morning, folks, after you've been saved, have you given yourself to the Lord? Now listen to me. I understand that there are people called the full-time service. I'm one of them. And I'm bragging about that. God called me. I was a little slow. I got saved, and finally, 10 years later, I answered God's call. I understand there is those in full-time service, we call it, that earn their living by doing that. But wait a minute. All of us should be full-time Christians. Amen? Follow that. Think about that, to do that. Now, I want you to write something on your sheet, if you can find a little space. I heard it a long time ago. I know we kind of shudder when somebody reads a prayer. You know, we're supposed to pray just out of the heart. Amen. But you know, sometimes there's nothing wrong with reading a prayer. Are you with me? And I want you to write this prayer, not a long one. See if you can find room up at the top or at the bottom somewhere. I want you to write this down. And here it is. Lord, that's who we pray to. Amen. Lord, make me a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. Can I say that again? Write it down. Lord, make me a nobody, trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. Reckon you know who that's talking about? Amen. So we're talking about being nobodies. Think about it, okay? You remember when you were a kid, especially fellas, the ladies have kind of taken over the sports now. I'm old-fashioned. Women should be in the kitchen, barefoot. No, I better not go there. You're all going to turn me off. But you remember, fellas, when you were playing on the sand lot, playing baseball, what you did? You chose sides. Two captains, okay? You choose somebody. And where'd you start? Where'd the captain start? They started with somebody's. I want that guy who can hit, who can field. There were some of those guys. And then as you progressed, there I stood. Finally, the last person was standing. That was me, and they finally chose me. You know, you remember those days? But aren't you glad that Jesus, the Lord, chose people? Think about it. Uneducated, unknown, blue-collar workers. You go to Luke chapter 5 and Luke 6. Who'd he call out? He didn't call out the Pharisees. He didn't call out the priests. He called out, how many of you are fishermen in here? You love to fish. Don't lie in the church house. Yeah, amen. I don't catch much, but I love to fish. But you look at who Jesus chose. It was not the cream of the crop, the elite. But he chose men and were nobodies. That's what we're getting to. Let me just read a short introduction. I'm getting into it. It says, there are Christians who have been convinced, talking to some of you, that God can't use them. That's a devil's lie. They think that because they don't have the skills or the talents or charisma of someone else, that they can't be effective in the work of God. Think about it. When we play the comparison game, we always lose. God, however, has a different standard when it comes to the individuals he chooses to use in a great way. He doesn't use those whom we assume are qualified. He uses those the world sees as nobodies. I made a little note as I was studying. 1984, I came to Texas. We started the Norris Bible Baptist Institute. It is now a seminary now. And I remember as the students enrolled and came in, I played a game. I had to look at that one and say, he's going to make it. I look at that one, he's going to make it. Then I looked at another one and said, no way does he make it. Dumb, dumb, dumb. Because you know what? The ones that made it were not the ones I chose. It's the ones that just came in. They weren't the brightest. They weren't the most educated. But they were people that were sold out. They were nobodies that sold out to the Lord. So I learned a real lesson. That's for free that I had to give that to you to think about, to do it. Now, a couple of examples. In the Old Testament, Gideon. Remember that story? Let me read it to you. I think you got it in small print there somewhere. In Judges 6, 11 and 16, let me read it to you. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was an Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon, threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. Gideon's in hiding. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Kind of Gideon looking around, who's he talking about, huh? And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all these miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hands of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And nobody. God used. Have the excuses, poorest, least. When God's in it, it makes a difference. Oh, there's somebody else in the Old Testament you're familiar with. Moses saw himself as a terrible choice for a spokesman to Pharaoh, but God saw him as someone through whom God could do miracles. Exodus 4, listen, verses 10 to 12. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. Amen? Another nobody that God used. Are you feeling better about it? Or are you making excuses about it? Lord, I can't speak. You remember in school, public speaking, the dread you had to stand in front of people and your knees shaking? I'm there today. But God will help me, okay? And you're going to be helping as listeners. Everybody said what? Amen. Don't go there, but check me out. Hebrews chapter 11. Go through that hall of fame. And you're going to come down, of all people, you're going to come down to somebody named Rahab. You remember her occupation? Prostitute. Harlot. And yet she trusted God and did a great work. If God used Rahab, you reckon he could use you? Think about it, trying to get it down personally to you in that sense of the word, okay? The Apostle Paul's testimony, listen to it, in the New Testament, should be helpful to us. Even when he was weak, fearful, and trembling, God's power was evident. Listen to the verses, 1 Corinthians 2, verses 1 to 5. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined, hang on to that word, not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. The people God uses are not always the people others recognize as being effective or significant in the work of God. And our lesson uses back to Hebrews, after Rahab and after all the names of the people, you'll come down towards the end of Hebrews 11, and it says, and others. And others. And what it says after and others are all those that have fallen, gone before us that have been martyred. And a testimony. You reckon we could be and others? But a lesson sheet talks about a man by the name of Frank Wimproy. I like the first name. The last name I've never heard of, Frank. Frank, how many of you have ever heard of Frank Wimproy? I thought so. A no name, a nobody. But one Sunday in 1912, Wimproy felt led to speak to Will, a 13-year-old boy in the Sunday school. He asked Will if he had given his heart to Christ. When the boy said he hadn't, Wimproy led him into a prayer room and pointed him to the Savior. Will trusted Christ that day. His name as an adult was Dr. W.E. Sangster, a man God used to reach many thousands of people with the gospel of Christ. Sometimes we think, in fact, what's going on now in our Sunday school and our people that are working with young kids, we sometimes get frustrated. There's that boy back there that doesn't pay a bit of attention. You never know. You never know how God's going to use one of those Sunday school kids. So stay faithful to it. Think about it. Just do it. But Paul's testimony to do that. By the way, I thought about writing a book, but I can't write. Nobody can read it if I did. give you a challenge. We talk about nobodies in the Bible. Think about no name or no names in the Bible. That'd make a great book. That'd make a great series. And some of you are sitting there, why don't you write it? I'm too lazy. How about that gal that talked to Naaman, led him to the man of God? Just a little maid. No name. How about the adulterous woman in the New Testament God saved? No name. How about the repentant thief on the cross? No name. Amen? Think about it. It may be a nobody and a no name. Think about it. Now, I have not forgot it. Get out your sheet. We'll fill in some words. We'll come back and cover it, okay? You've had a long introduction. I've given that to you. But let's look at the outline quick. We just looked at one of the words. Be determined. Be determined to serve the Lord in some capacity. Well, I'm just a Sunday school teacher. That's wonderful. I just clean the building. That's wonderful. Somebody's got to do it with the right spirit and the right attitude. Think about it. Be determined. A, determined to preach Christ for salvation. Christ for salvation. Luke says what? Jesus came to what? Seeking to save that which is lost. Then on the other side, be determined to preach Christ for sanctification. Come back to these words in a moment. Number two, I'm using a little alliteration. Be dependent. Be dependent. Dependent upon God's truth. And dependent upon the Holy Spirit. Now, when we got saved, we had the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But the Word of God, we hopefully have grown in, and that works together. Then lastly, be desirous. D-E-S-I-R-O-U-S. Be desirous. The desires of God's power and desirous of God's glory. Think about those three words that you have it, okay? And we just read in 1 Corinthians 2:2, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. That was Paul's calling to witness and to preach to other people. Okay? And so he did that and do it. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 18 to 24. Paul talking about preaching. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. Now, it doesn't say foolish preaching. I've heard some of that over the years. The foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Amen and amen. There's a story about Brigadier General Theodore Roosevelt, Jr. He was the son of President Theodore Roosevelt. He was waiting to board a plane during World War II. While standing in line, the general overheard a private pleading at the ticket window. I'm going overseas in 3 days. I want to see my ma before I go. I can go home and back only if I travel by plane. The agent explained to him that every seat on the plane was already taken. Just then, Brigadier General Roosevelt stepped forward and said, I'll surrender my seat to him. But, protested a fellow officer to the general, this is a matter of rank. That's right, replied General Roosevelt. He's a son. I'm only a general. God confirmed the highest honor upon us when he called us sons. Our standing with God is solely based on our salvation through Christ, not on our greatness in the world. In this way, we're nobodies whom Christ has made somebodies. Think about it. Think about it to do it. read a couple more illustrations and we'll be done. Aren't you glad to hear about that, to do it, okay? Okay. Talk about sanctification means set apart. By the way, there's an old philosophy, win 'em, wet 'em, and work 'em. Ever heard that? Win 'em, wet 'em, work 'em. I was in that mess. I got saved, I got baptized, and I got thrown up into a, I was a teacher at that time, public school, and I got thrown up into a junior high boys Sunday school class. Third floor, old Baptist temple, and the teacher, old Ben, was in a wheelchair. So it's made an impression on me 58 years ago. I have yet over the years to figure out how he ever got up there in a wheelchair, three floors. And I sat under him as an assistant teacher. I'm getting to something here. Have you moved past your salvation? Have you asked God and say, I'm a nobody, will use me somewhere? And I'll tell you, Worth Baptist Church, don't come to me and say, there's nothing I can do here. Oh, really? Oh, really? I'm not going to bore you with all the things that you have to do. And I want you to think about that, okay? And he gives that to do it. He's determined. We're dependent. I want to read about a president years ago. Thank God this president believed in prayer. And by the way, Pastor had a great message on prayer Sunday or so ago, didn't he, to do it. John Quincy Adams, the sixth president of the United States, said the following about God's written word. We have a dependence on God's word. Amen. He says, I have for many years made it a practice to read through the Bible once a year. Hopefully some of you are doing that. My custom is to read 4 or 5 chapters every morning immediately after rising from my bed. It employs about an hour of my time and seems to me the most suitable manner of beginning the day. In what light soever we regard the Bible, whether with reference to revelation, to history, or to morality, it is an invaluable and inexhaustible mine of knowledge and virtue. Amen and amen for a president that appreciated the Word of God, and to do that, do it. A couple more things and we'll be done. A fellow by the name of Dan Crawford, another nobody. The successor to missionary explorer David Livingstone. How'd you like to take those shoes? You better not. You better take your own shoes. He carried a copy of the New Testament in the pocket of his jacket. At the time of his death, someone found the following verses pinned on the flyleaf of that well-worn book. Here's what it said. I cannot do it alone. I've tried that a few times. Flop, flop. The waves dash fast and high. The fog comes chill around, and the light goes out in the sky. But I know that we too shall win in the end. Jesus and I, coward and wayward and weak, I change with the changing sky. Today so strong and brave, tomorrow too weak to fly. But he never gives up, so we too shall win. Jesus and I. Pretty good poem, pretty good one to keep and to do, to think about it, to do it. I've said close 3 times. Don't you love it when a preacher does that? Now, in conclusion, Dan is back here just smiling. She knows me. But I'll read a poem and just as we get to what we're doing is, okay? Who does God use? Not the proud. Not those who think that the abilities God has given them give them no need for God's power. God will use any Christian who is determined to make Christ known, dependent upon the Holy Spirit, in the Word of God, and desirous for the power and glory of God.